Wow. Jews for Jesus has really stepped out with this one. Could be the most controversial outreach yet.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are right in the midst of the Passover season, the time when we as followers of Jesus remember the Exodus from Egypt and remember the Messiah's death and resurrection as the Passover lamb. And in a few minutes, I'm going to bring on the air Susan Perlman from Jews for Jesus, who's going to talk about a new campaign, a new Jewish outreach campaign from Jews for Jesus called That Jew Died for You. You'll find out why it's so controversial in a few minutes. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I love the Lord. I enjoy my relationship with God. I really do rest in Him and take refuge in Him. And at the same time, this world is, in the words of A.W. Tozer, not a playground, but a battleground. When he said that the vast majority of religious fundamentalists have concluded it's a playground more than a battleground, but this world really is a battleground. We really are in spiritual warfare. Every day there are things going on that are intense, lives hanging in the balance, and I live with that realization. A certain level, we're on the front lines through radio, through writing, through speaking, through other means. We're on the front lines and in the midst of controversy, but it's a reality. It's a reality. Last night in my apologetics class, Intro to Apologetics at our School of Ministry, I taught about the problem of suffering and how we respond to that issue. How can there be a good God who created the world knowing what would happen and yet allow so much suffering and pain, or create a world in which there would be so much suffering and pain? I was addressing those issues, and one of the points I made is that we've got to understand that this is a transition stage, that this world is not our final destination, that this world is not our final home, that we are only passing through. Now, what happens in this world has an eternal impact, which means what happens in this world is even more important than we might have understood. But in point of fact, we are passing through this world. Complete justice will not come in this world. Complete redemption for the human race will not be experienced in this world. It will be experienced in the world to come. Complete rewards will not be experienced in this world, but in the world to come, which reminds me that we need to do what's right in God's sight and stand for truth and walk in love regardless of the cost or consequences, regardless of how anyone would look at us, speak of us. We need to honor the Lord first and foremost. And by the way, the reason I'm saying all this right at the outset of the broadcast is it's not primarily about what we'll discuss with Jews for Jesus and the new outreach that they have launched this week. But right before the show, I was looking at some news items online and saw this report from South Korea, nearly 300 still missing. Scores of students were on a ferry boat that sunk suddenly, quickly. What is it, 164?
Hey, right here. Yeah, owner saved so
much. All right, hang on. I see what just happened there. I was wondering where that sound was coming from. Just figured that out. Sorry about that. News report that I saw on CNN.com, 164 at least rescued so far, 300 missing, many students involved. Yes, yet another calamity, yet another crisis, yet another terrible blow to this fragile human race. So I want to encourage you, friend, live your life in a way that counts. Jonathan Edwards, when he was 19, resolved to live with all of his might. I posted a quote from him and said, hey, if you're going to live, live. Let's make our lives count. Oh, we may be misunderstood, hated, rejected, but in the end, it'll all make sense. Back with Susan Perlman from Jews for Jesus.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Geh weiter! Nicht so schlapp! Geh weiter!
Sound of German soldiers, sounds of Jews being taken to a concentration camp in the Holocaust, sounds of Jews going to their death. What's this got to do with Jews for Jesus? What's this got to do with an outreach campaign called That Jew Died for You? Michael Brown, welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast. About to be joined by Susan Perlman, longtime leader with Jews for Jesus. And when I wrote my five-volume series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, the first volume dealt with general and historical objections. And I put one question in there as a Jewish objection, namely, why did God allow 6 million Jews to die in the Holocaust? And before I'm willing to even discuss that question, a question about Jesus, you need to answer that. That was the objection. And I also had an objection that stated, without the long history of anti-Semitism in the church, there could not have been a Holocaust in Europe. Well, I wrestled with how to respond to the question of why did God allow 6 million Jews to die in the Holocaust. How do you answer that? How do you answer that without offending someone, being offensive, in an insensitive way, not being faithful to God? I wrestled with it and I wrestled with it. I saved that for the last one to answer, and then I really felt God gave me insight as to how to respond to that. The great problem we have is that for religious Jews in particular, or Jews with European or Eastern European background, they associate the Holocaust with Christianity. And some of them look at Jesus as if he is the culprit behind it all, because Jews wouldn't have suffered if not for Christian anti-Semitism through the centuries. That's some of the backdrop that's important to know. My guest, Susan Perlman, as I said, longtime leader with Jews for Jesus. Susan, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast.
Michael, I really appreciated it this season at this very time to be able to discuss this matter.
Yeah, well, tell us first about the new outreach campaign and then why you felt to launch it at this time of the year.
Well, we have launched this social media campaign on YouTube with a film that we produced at 3.5 minutes in length that is set in Poland in 1943, and it takes you right into the midst of the Holocaust and Jews making their way to the gates of Auschwitz. And as you view this video, and your listeners will seeing at the very close the Nazi guards looking up and seeing the iconic Christ figure with his cross at the entrance. And they motion him to the showers, to the gas chamber. One says with a smirk on his face, "Just another Jew." And then the screen goes to black and the words come up, "That Jew died for you." And what we wanted to do with this film, which is a shocker, it is controversial, is bring out the fact that Jesus has been wrongly associated with the perpetrators of the Holocaust, when in reality, he should be identified with those who were the victims. And if he were a Jew in Europe at that time, Jesus may well have suffered the same fate of the 6 million who perished in the camps.
What about the fact that there is a history of anti-Semitism in the professing church, that many of the people involved in the different countries in the Holocaust were professing Christians, and yet they were either looked the other way or they were complicit. Doesn't that make Jesus somehow responsible for this in the eyes of Jews?
I can certainly understand how that would have that conclusion made by some, because certainly there were those who were baptized Christians who took part in this horrific blight on not only on the Jewish people but on all humanity. Yet all of this happened, and we know this, in spite of everything that Jesus taught. His was a message of forgiveness, of love, of hope, of redemption. And those that were the perpetrators of the Holocaust were evil. They were evil and totally apart from anything that Christ would have wanted to have done.
Yeah, in fact, the followers of Jesus, the true followers of Jesus through the centuries, have been the ones that have been persecuted by the edge of the sword, rather than the ones who've taken up the sword. And true Christians that were in Nazi Germany and the surrounding countries did suffer for their faith, or they did suffer for their solidarity with the Jewish people. The image of Jesus in the Holocaust would be twofold. It would be of another Jew going to his or her death, and of someone like Corrie ten Boom and her family that laid down their lives to rescue Jewish people from the horrors of the Holocaust. So people watch this. There is that shock, the initial shock of, all right, you're putting Jesus right in this picture, Yeshua, a Jew. He would have been right. Just another Jew. What are you hoping to accomplish with it? There's no question it's super well done, and there's no question it's going to be jarring and controversial. What do you think can come out of it that'll be positive?
Well, we're hoping that this will engage people, Jewish people and Gentiles, in the conversation, the real Jesus, and why he came, and why he is so key and to all of us today. This comes out at a time right during Passover week, as it leads up to the Good Friday events of the church and the Resurrection Sunday. And then the following week, we have on April 28th, Holocaust Remembrance Day. Mm. So the Shoah connects to this very, very real, in a real way. And what we're hoping to do is to get people to start talking about Yeshua, the one who suffered for us. When they go to the film, it will also lead them to a website, and they'll be able to get a free booklet that was authored by you, Michael, on why this all happened, where was God during the Holocaust, and that Jew who died for you and me. They'll also be able to chat live with our missionaries around the world. The video is being translated into Hebrew, French, Russian, Portuguese, Spanish, Hungarian, Polish, all these different languages, and is being shown in these countries simultaneously. And so they will be able to talk to people in their own language as well. And the site also includes the testimonies, video testimonies, of 9 Holocaust survivors, Jewish Holocaust survivors who've come to faith in Yeshua and Jesus. And they're very powerful stories.
Yeah, and of course, some of them, I know some of the folks involved and have seen some of the stories that are tremendously moving. And yes, that the mini book of mine is one that the publisher of my series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, Baker Books, allowed Jews for Jesus to release. That one question that I wrestled with for so many months before writing the answer to, and I was sent where it was published just in German and distributed there, which is meaningful. So, Susan, where do folks go to watch this? We just posted this on my Facebook page and tweeted it out. But if folks just want to go that are listening to watch the video and to share it with their Jewish friends, what's the website?
Just go to thatjewdiedforyou.com. Just strung out as one word, thatjewdiedforyou.com. They'll be able to just click on the video, go right to the YouTube video, and then watch any of the subsequent videos that they'd like as well. And I hope they post it out to their Facebook pages as well and share it on.
Spread the word.
And
yeah, spread the word, friends. Let's have the conversation going. Let's remind everyone, Jesus, the Jew, who died for the salvation of the world. And he died during the Passover season. Susan, thanks for joining us. In a couple of weeks, we'll get an update on the campaign from David Brickner. God bless.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, blessed to be with you again. The website to view the video and to get further discussion is That Jew Died For You. Spell out four, not the number four. ThatJewDiedForYou.com. You'll want to watch it. You'll want to share it with your friends. And you'll want to interact about it. And then by all means, encourage your Jewish friends in particular to get the mini book. It's one that I wrote that we've allowed Jews for Jesus to use about where was God during the Holocaust? How could 6 million Jews die? And how is there any possible redemptive message in all of that tragedy and suffering and madness? By the way, next week, right during the same time, first half hour, next Wednesday, I'm going to have Rebecca Bender on with me. She herself was caught up as a victim of sex trafficking, following the Lord now and helping enlighten many people about these horrible realities. And she shared some things, her views about Christians are making too big a deal about same-sex marriage on her blog, on video. I played some of the clips and then interacted with what she had to say. And she responded graciously as well and said, great, let's get on the air and have a discussion. So it's going to be an important time, some very fruitful discussion we'll have next Wednesday at the same time. Okay, let us open up the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. We discuss this normally on an annual basis. Is it good for Christians to celebrate Easter? Some of you are saying, what? What are you talking about? Of course, this is when we remember the death of Jesus. This is when we celebrate his resurrection. Of course, why in the world wouldn't we want to celebrate Easter? Others say, no, we've got this new holiday, Easter, and it's separate from Passover, and everything should be celebrated in the Passover season. That's when Jesus died and rose from the dead. Others say, well, no, the Passover is not the issue. It's fine for Christians to celebrate this, but Easter, I mean, that's Ishtar, that's pagan, the eggs, that's some pagan origin, and what we've done is mix paganism with Christianity. And others say, how in the world can you be so petty and complain about Easter eggs or something like that when churches around the world and Christians around the world will be celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus, and unsaved people will be coming to the meetings and hearing the gospel? So what's your take on that? Do you think there may be some foolish elements or pagan elements, but they're secondary? Do you think that it's a myth that there's any paganism associated with the day? Do you think that we just need to go back to a Jewish rooted celebration that puts us in the Passover season? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You get to weigh in now with your opinion. Should Christians celebrate Easter? I'll give you my own opinion in a moment. I want to give you the opportunity to weigh in first. let me say this. I got saved in the end of 1971, late November, December, is when the Lord had mercy on me and saved me and brought me to himself. Now, remember, I have no Christian background in terms of growing up in church, growing up in church circles, anything like that. I'm just raised in a Jewish home. not a heavily traditional Jewish home, but Jewish enough to not have anything to do with church or not believe in Jesus or anything like that, and go to, you know, got bar mitzvahed and went to synagogue and on the high holidays and things like that. So I've got no background with the Christian calendar, okay? Yeah, I know there's a thing called Christmas and so on, but I've got no background in terms of special days of the year. And I remember that when we had our first Easter Sunday service, so now it's April, so I've been saved for, what, 4 or 5 months, something like that. I remember that the place was packed. I mean, we got a little over 100 people in the building, barely. And I remember that the place was packed, and we ran out of communion cups to serve the people that day. And, you know, that was a unique thing that had never happened. And I think the total was 140 something people, something like that. And all these godly, saintly people that were there that we didn't normally see. Then as years went on, I realized, wait a second. Plenty of people, it's the only time they show up at a church service is on Sunday. And it's just like when I was a kid growing up in conservative Judaism on Long Island, that I'd show up for the high holidays and wasn't there the rest of the year. Yeah, you may have some people that just happen to visit the church that Sunday. But for the most part, that was when the more nominal people came. So instead of looking forward to that special, wonderful day, I actually would dread it just a little myself. 866-34-TRUTH. A couple more comments, about the Jews for Jesus video, and I will take some phone calls on that as well. They've obviously asked for controversy in doing this, and you can weigh in with your thoughts, especially if you've watched the video. Take 3 minutes. That Jew died for you to watch the video. By all means, give us a call once you do. I start my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, the first chapter, from Yeshua to Yeshu to Jesus. I start the first chapter with the Holocaust. You say in your book, The Real Kosher Jesus? Uh-huh. I start there, and then I go from there to the Council of Martin Luther that Adolf Hitler and the Nazis put into practice November 9th, 1938, in what's called Kristallnacht, widely viewed as the real beginning of the Holocaust, when Jewish homes, places of business were burnt down, destroyed, when synagogues were set on fire, when hundreds of Jews were wounded, when several dozen were killed. And it was Martin Luther who had said their synagogues and places of business should be set on fire, and they should be herded together in ghettos, and their rabbis should be forbidden to teach on penalty of death. He wrote that in 1543. So I start there to give the readers an understanding of how Jesus can often seem and appear to Jewish eyes. I was talking to a Jewish man one time, a religious Jewish man who lived in a very religious part of New York, New Jersey, a very religious Jewish community. And I said, in your community, do they associate the Holocaust with Christianity? He said, oh, absolutely. My book, The Real Kosher Jesus, obviously sets the record straight and shows how the church deviated from its Jewish roots and presented a Jesus that very few Jews would even recognize. And you can get the book, The Real Kosher Jesus, together with a two-hour, very spirited debate that I did with my friend, Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. He wrote the book, Kosher Jesus. I wrote the book, The Real Kosher Jesus. And I think you'll find it to be tremendously eye-opening, a real page-turner, and great for you to read as a believer, than to give to your friend, a Jewish friend that doesn't know the Lord, or if you're listening as a Jewish person that doesn't believe in Jesus, great read for you. So when you get the two together, you'll save about $15 off of the normal price. So $25 postage paid for the book and the two DVD set. Call right now to order, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We do this most every year, open up the phones for folks to weigh in on the subject of Easter. Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday. Should Christians celebrate Easter? Is that a good, healthy thing? Is it mixed with idolatry, paganism? Is the fact that Christians, churches around the country are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus this weekend after remembering his death earlier in the week, is that a great thing for outreach? And we're silly to get, you know, concerned about Easter eggs and stuff like that. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Before we get to that question, let's just go to Bill in Nyack, New York. Thanks for calling. I believe you wanted to comment on the Jews for Jesus campaign. Are you there, Bill?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking the call. I appreciate your show, and I've watched you for the years, even at Times Square when you were down there for a while. One thing I wanted to ask, and maybe you could discuss it. I'll get off the phone. But I just sensed that when the young lady was sharing about how Jesus came, Yeshua, that he was a victim in any sense. And I got a kind of a check, and I just wanted to ask you what you thought about that. I know that there's such vile theologies out there, like the liberation theologies and so on, that just promote the victimhood. And I feel that really he came from only one reason, and that was to be a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins, and that was without anything to do with man, just for man, you know. So anytime we characterize him as a victim, I think we kind of alienate people, and we also misrepresent his character.
Bill, that's an interesting thought, and thanks for following our ministry all these years. You have to watch the video. I'd encourage you to do that first.
I will. Yeah.
And then I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are. I mean, you don't have to call, let me know, but I'd still be curious to know. The whole purpose of the video, and yes, it's highly controversial, and they're certainly aware it's going to offend people. Now, I would say that the mini book that they'll be giving out of mine will have the exact opposite effect in terms of painstakingly and with real sensitivity going through the issues and trying to sort them out and ultimately pointing to the cross in a redemptive way. But the whole purpose is this, that there is often a gut-level association in among Jewish people that Jesus is somehow associated with the Holocaust in a negative way, that somehow he is responsible, that he's the father of Christianity, and it was Christianity that paved the way for the Holocaust, or some even, you know, say the Nazis were Christian, and of course some profess to be, but otherwise it was a hostile Christian, anti-Christian movement. So it's simply making clear that he would have simply been recognized as another Jew if he had lived at that time, and to put him rather than place him with the tyrants and the murderers and the demonized Nazis that were slaughtering men, women, and children in cold blood, rather to put him in the line of those that would have gone to slaughter as a Jew. So I didn't personally get the impression of any type of victimology in it in a negative way. In fact, he's carrying his cross. In other words, he's still on his mission. But I don't want to argue it either way. It's obviously going to be something very personal and done with intent to stir up conversation. So do watch it. And then, Bill, just shoot us a note. You can shoot us a note through the website, info@askdrbrown.org, or on my Facebook page in response to the post. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. But thanks for raising the issue, Bill. I appreciate it. Any of you that watched the video, please do call us. Give us a call and tell us your thoughts. We'll be right back with your Easter-related calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If you missed the interview earlier in the broadcast with Susan Perlman from Jews for Jesus, they have now launched the website thatjewdiedforyou.com. It's all spelled out, not the number four, but the word for thatjewdiedforyou.com, with a very striking, highly professional, and extremely controversial video that, well, you need to watch it and then let us know what you think about it. If you think it's worthy to share with your friends, by all means, do so. And then click to get the mini book, especially if you're not sure about who Jesus is. Click to get the free mini book, and then by all means, everyone, watch the testimonies of Holocaust survivors, Jewish Holocaust survivors who are followers of Jesus Yeshua today. 866-34-TRUTH. About to go to the phones about Easter. Is it a matter of just changing terminology? What does Easter actually mean? Does that associate is that associated in most people's minds with Easter eggs and bunnies and things like that? Or is it associated with the death and resurrection of Jesus? Perhaps we should just refer to this as Resurrection Weekend, or Resurrection Sunday. Perhaps this should just be celebrated in the midst of the Passover season. Perhaps people are getting uptight over little issues. I know one church, for example, that had their staff work with them and volunteers, and they stuffed 150,000 Easter eggs, this is a mega church, with invitations to outreach services that'll be conducted this entire weekend, and they'll be preaching Jesus and lifting him up. Isn't this a good thing? Or you feel it's mixing paganism with the gospel? And by the way, as I'm about to go to the phones, just want to let you know that so far everybody on hold, and we're going to hear from every one of you, so don't hang up because you're one of a number. Everyone on hold is having an issue with the celebration of Easter. That means those of you who say, what in the world are you talking about? Those of you who will be among the millions going to church services this weekend and commemorating the death and resurrection of Jesus and thinking it's a wonderful thing to be doing it the way we're doing it, we need to hear from you as well. Let's start in Falls Church, Virginia. Matthew, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you, Dr. Brown. The first thing I wanted to, the Holocaust, I mean, we're looking to blame it on somebody rather than looking at what caused it. Our people's sin caused it. And, you know, whoever executed it, it's no different than the Babylonians when they executed the judgment of God on our people before. But going to Easter, I don't believe that we people should be celebrating, and I believe that they should be celebrating the feast of God, first fruits, which He is the first fruit of the kingdom of heaven. And celebrating Easter to me is a lot like the Israelites making the golden calf. Yeah, they were worshiping God, and they were doing all that they could to worship God. And they thought they were doing right, but they weren't doing right. God doesn't want to be worshipped that way. And He's very clear about not worshiping Him in the manner in which the nations worship their God.
All right, so just to understand this, Matthew, so I'll make sure I can understand your point. When Christians gather, for example, this Sunday, and they sing hymns and choruses about the resurrection of Jesus and He's alive, and pastor preaches on His death and resurrection and reaches out to the lost, how is that worshiping the way the pagan nations do? I just want to understand your point here.
Well, I mean, with the eggs and with, you know, having the Easter egg hunt after the services and, you know, calling it Easter and not calling it first fruits for what it is, one of God's feet.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of similarities with the religion that was in Babylon, you know, about Ishtar and Nimrod and him rising and everything like that, her crying,
All right, so hang on. Just one more point then. Now, here's where I'm genuinely trying to understand you, and because I'm a little confused about the last point you made. I understand people can debate the meaning of Easter, and is it related to Ishtar or not? That's one fair question. And what about the Easter eggs? What does that have to do with anything? Does that have pagan origins? That's another fair question. But when you mention ancient Babylonian religion, and then you said, well, there was Nimrod rising. And so are you saying we shouldn't be celebrating the resurrection of the Son of God because you have pagan parallels?
No, I don't. I think if they focus solely on the resurrection, right, that he died and was put in the ground before the first day of unleavened bread, and that he rose on first fruits, that he fulfilled the word that he said, rather than a tradition that nullifies what he said he was going to do. If they focus on that and they focus on his victory going into the ground, that he was victorious before he entered the ground, that he went into the heart of the earth, that he preached salvation to those waiting.
All right, okay. Yeah, all clear. I just want to give time to other callers, but all clear that it's where the focus is and the other things that are added in terminology, et cetera, and that's what troubles you, and the pulling it away from the historic origin where he's crucified in conjunction with Passover and rises in conjunction with first fruits. And then you're also talking about 3 days, three nights. So all clear. Appreciate you weighing in. Just want to give time to other callers as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Is it good that Christians are celebrating, quote, Easter this weekend? Or is it mixing paganism with scripture? Is there a better way? I always tell folks, if you're going to take something away, replace it with something better. Let's go to the Bronx. Darlene, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Darlene, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Please. Yes.
Yes. I think it is mixed up with paganism. I do believe, as I lay and talk to God and allow him to talk to me, that he looks down upon us as a pagan nation because we have gotten away from our true identity of who we are to be in Christ Jesus. Resurrection Sunday should be just that, Resurrection Sunday. Jesus raising from the dead for us, for all mankind, not for an Easter bunny, not for no eggs and baskets and the pretty colors. They're all good, but that's not what he was about. That's not what he represented. You know, we really dig into Easter. Pagans, you know, they worship these things. This was like about fertility. This was about other things, which has nothing to do with our risen Christ. He wants us to know him for who he is. When he talks about the other sheepfold that he has to get, the Gentiles, which is us, it's to bring us as one with who his people are as the Jews. And I think that that day should be just left for that, the talking of Christ, the risen of Christ, what it all means and what it all means for each and every person. It's getting back to the roots.
Got it. All right, so the gathering on Sunday to celebrate the Messiah's resurrection earlier in the week to commemorate his death, absolutely, you're all for it. But the way that it's done in our church, many of our church services, or the joining together with Easter egg hunts and this other stuff is a distraction. Hey, Darlene, thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, I am the last person that you want to talk to defend certain of the customs associated with the death and resurrection of Messiah that have grown up in our churches. I'm the last person to defend it as a Jewish follower of Jesus. Now, please understand me. I encourage my Messianic Jewish friends who focus on Passover to make sure that the central focus of their Passover is the central focus of God, namely the death and resurrection of the Messiah. That the exodus from Egypt pales in comparison to the work of the Passover lamb on our behalf. So let us look at the whole picture and major on the majors. And yes, by all means, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and to use this for outreach purposes. What a great time of the year to reach out. And as I have the privilege of preaching this Sunday in my home congregation, I won't be slamming the peripherals. I will be majoring on the majors and exalting the Son of God. The question is there any validity to any of the other practices that have arisen with this? Where did they come from? Is it just silly church custom? Is it pagan tradition? We'll be back with your calls on the other side of the break right here on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Pastor Richard, you are next.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, talking about celebrating Easter, the name, the customs, do it at all, do it in conjunction with Jewish holidays. Is it right or wrong? We'll have this discussion normally every year. Have one about Christmas as well. Let's go back to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. Pastor Richard in Montclair, New Jersey, what's your take on this, and what are your plans for the weekend?
Yes, Dr. Brown, I most certainly venerate Resurrection Day. I believe it should be trumpeted forth. There's some kind of negative advertising going on. No one died for your sins. Christ is a myth kind of thing. And obviously I'm outraged but not surprised by that. Now, it comes down to this. I believe that we are sorely lacking in what I call genuine Christianity. Authentic Christianity is the word I was looking for. And the watering down process has just reached epidemic proportions. In my community, we have some 50-odd churches. And I was talking to another pastor recently, and I said, if you could find five authentic Christian assemblies out of that group, that would be a lot. And unfortunately, the matter of Easter with its pagan connotations is just one example. I do not use the word happy Ishtar, and when I hear it, it kind of goes right through me. Also, Christ Mass, I consider that to be a non-starter. It obviously it has its roots in Roman Catholicism. And, you know, the scripture says they deny having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not use the word G-O-D. It's been struck from my vocabulary because I believe it has secular connotations.
So what do you use instead?
I use Abba Yahweh whenever I address the Father. I use Yahweh-shua, not Yeshua, Yahweh-shua when I address the Son, and Ruach Hodesh when I address Holy Spirit.
All right. So now, just a question, though. I mean, when you say Yahweh Shu, there's no such name that ever existed, nor would it have any meaning in Hebrew, nor would Yeshua or any of his disciples recognize it, nor would the people you're talking to recognize it. So haven't you created a new problem by doing that?
No, I don't think so, because when he revealed himself to Moses, who shall I send? Say, sent me, what is your name? he said, "I am that I am," which is translated.
Right, right. But he came into this world. He came into the world with the name Yeshua. We know that. And then it was immediately, as the New Testament out in Greek, put out in Greek as Jesus. I appreciate where you're coming from. If you can stay on the line, Dwight, my faithful call screener, just get your address. I want to send you a book I wrote for free. It's called 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices. That is if you don't have it already. 866-34-TRUTH. Look, I'm hosting the conversation here, but I just want to say that there are certain extremes that folks go to. And to me, some of that is every bit as extreme as the Easter egg extreme. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go. Boy, I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. Boston, Massachusetts. Is it Guy?
No, this is Jeed.
Jeed. Jeed. All right, boy, Dwight gave me no help on that. G-I-D-E. Jeed, welcome to the program. Where are you from originally?
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Originally from Haiti.
Haiti, okay. Yeah, so French pronunciation. Yes, sir. What's your take on the whole Easter question?
Oh, I think as Christians, we should focus entirely on the Abrahamic covenant, where we as Gentiles people have inherited our salvation. Genesis 12:3 put it very clearly that in Abraham's seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, would have then received our salvation. And throughout Scripture, we have been given, the promised seed of Abraham, and whether through the Exodus, we have the Lamb of God, the Lamb given for Passover as being a picture of the Messianic Lamb that would come to redeem humanity. And that was fulfilled, obviously, in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago when Christ died for us. And the apostles point to that very specifically in every gathering as the cross of Jesus Christ, the mm-hmm. Lamb of God that was slain for
right.
salvation.
Right. So just to understand, because I'm almost out of time. So your issue obviously is we should focus on this. We should focus on this all the time, rather than once a year, and then rather than with all the trappings with it. Am I understanding you?
Absolutely. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ should be the focus of this celebration of Resurrection Sunday, and not necessarily on the eggs. And
got it. With you on that thoroughly. And by the way, I've never been in a community that was really big on Easter egg stuff and all the paraphernalia and peripheral stuff. So, of course, to me, it's all about these central points. Hey, thank you, sir, for weighing in. Sorry we're short on time. Folks on hold, please stay right there because a little bit later, we are going to come back to this subject. So if you've got time to stay on hold for a few minutes, we will be returning to this a little bit later in the next hour. What about this whole Jewish roots thing? I mean, how Jewish was Jesus? Was he just a rabbi? Was he more than that? What about us fulfilling the biblical calendar? Are there secrets, hidden secrets in the scripture and even Jewish tradition about him being the Messiah? Where does Paul fit in with all this? Did he change things, or are people misrepresenting Paul? I tackle all these questions in an eye-opening way in my book, The Real Kosher Jesus. We've gotten some of the best responses to that book of any book that I have written. You'll find it a great eye-opener, and you can save about $15 on a special resource package today. We'll package it together with a 2-DVD debate on The Real Kosher Jesus, moderated by my friend Sid Roth, and together with my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. $25 postage paid for the whole package, the book, the DVDs. But call right now to order, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or right from our website, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today: while we can question which traditions associated with Easter might be pagan, without question, our focus must be on the death and resurrection of Jesus. What? This really happened in a school here in America?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we have just concluded a very interesting hour of broadcasting, first talking about a controversial new outreach video produced by Jews for Jesus, and then getting into our annual debate, which I have not entered into as much as hosted, about Easter. Should Christians celebrate Easter? Is it a good thing? Should we celebrate it minus the Easter eggs and other things? Or is that all part of the celebration of the resurrection of the Messiah? Is even the name Easter pagan and related to Ishtar? Should we celebrate all of this in the context of Passover and first fruits? We'll be getting back to that. I'm going to continue hosting that debate with you, the callers, weighing in at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So we will be coming back to that. If you'd like to call in now and hold for a few minutes until we get to you, then that will get you higher up on the queue when we begin to address this subject. In a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by Bob Kellogg. He's been the education reporter for the American Family Association Radio Network, covering stories nationwide. He was a researcher writer with the Public Policy Department. Prior to that, a reporter with Family News in Focus, working together with the Alliance Defending Freedom. There is something that took place here in the States in one of our schools. And, this whole thing is a shocker, and we're going to introduce that momentarily to you. I'm going to bring Bob Kellogg on with the Alliance Defending Freedom, and you will get to hear something very, very interesting and disturbing. 866-34-TRUTH. If you haven't heard the news, ferry capsized in the waters near South Korea. Perhaps several hundred people lost at sea, among them many, many students. Pray for mercy. Pray for intervention. Pray that God would take this terrible, shocking tragedy and ultimately use it in a way that is redemptive for the people of South Korea and for those who will be going through all types of terrible trauma and loss in the coming days. You think, you know, as I was speaking last night to my class at Fire School of Ministry, talking about the problem of suffering and talking about this world is not our final home and not everything gets resolved in this world. You have a tragedy like this, and then you have the Malaysian airline tragedy, which still is just question marks. I mean, think of that. Think of being one of the family members of the, and you still don't know. There's no possible closure that you can put on this in any definitive way. In a sense, it's a picture of this world, that those who are looking for final justice in this world across the board won't see it. Those who are looking for a final vindication of truth in this world won't see it. Those who are looking for complete redemption in this world won't see it. And yet, we will see God move in mighty, glorious, extraordinary ways. Let's remember that the Son of God, when he was crucified, looked to have failed in his mission. Let's remember that even his closest disciples lost hope. Let's remember that in the natural, things looked absolutely hopeless and bleak. And it's not just a trite saying. He did rise on the third day. He did rise from the dead. And therefore, everything, the picture of everything, changes. We will be right back with Bob Kellogg from Alliance Defending Freedom. And then your calls about the celebration of Easter.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The parents filed a lawsuit against the school district on behalf of their son after they say the boy was not allowed to distribute the message that was in his Valentine's Day cards.
All right, this story, which goes back to Valentine's Day, just broke last week in terms of a case that's being filed by the Alliance Defending Freedom. You may have heard about it, but I imagine most of you did not. So before we get to a discussion about Easter, and we're going to open up the phones. Some of you have been holding over from the last hour. We want to get to you. We're going to open up the phones to the question of, should Christians celebrate Easter? Should we celebrate it as is? Should it just be changed in terms of name and terminology and so on? We will take your calls on that 866-34-TRUTH. Let me read for you what Todd Starnes on Fox News wrote about this story. I know it's almost Easter, but an incident occurred that occurred just before Valentine's Day crossed my desk this week, and it's got me fired up. A little boy broke into tears after a Nazareth, Pennsylvania teacher confiscated his Valentine's Day cards because they contained religious messages and a Bible verse about Jesus, a lawsuit filed this week in federal court alleges. Imagine that. According to the lawsuit, Jesus was not welcome in Nazareth. As Tom Starn says, it really takes a special kind of stupid to get worked up over a Valentine's Day card. Alliance Defending Freedom filed a federal lawsuit Monday against the Nazareth Area School District on behalf of Donald and Ellen Abramo and their son. They claim a teacher and the principal at Floyd R. Schaefer Elementary School violated their son's constitutional rights. Friends, we're not making this up. They allege that the little boy was prohibited from distributing St. Valentine's Day cards to his classmates because the cards contained a sentence about the religious history of the holiday along with the Bible verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. ADF attorney Jeremy Tedesco said to single out a faith-based message for censorship is exactly the type of hostility to religion that the First Amendment forbids. Which the First Amendment is against restriction of religious speech. It is protect the church from the state. According to Todd Starnes, the school did not return numerous calls seeking comment. A spokesman also declined to comment to the local newspaper. The Alliance Defending Freedom lawsuit is jaw-dropping. The school was allegedly so hostile to religion that the Abramo son was scared to pray over his meals because he's afraid of getting in trouble. I just got a note from a colleague about a staff member on her team where that little girl in school praying over her food was stopped for praying over the food by one of the lunchroom supervisors. You're not allowed to do that. I mean, this is insanity. The note instructed parents, the note that was sent home, instructed parents to avoid attaching candy to the cards. So don't attach anything other than the non-edible treats or approved snack items to Valentine's. And be sure, make absolutely sure that you do not have a religious message. So this is what the first grader and his older siblings decided to do. They included the message about the history of St. Valentine. St. Valentine was imprisoned and martyred for presiding over marriages and for spreading the news of God's love. In honor of St. Valentine's Day, I want you to know that God loves you. And then John 3:16. We are now joined by Bob Kellogg, who is involved in this suit with the Alliance Defending Freedom. I gave you Bob's bio just a few minutes ago. Welcome to the Line of Fire, Bob.
Well, thank you very much. Just to clarify something right off the bat, I work a lot. With the Alliance Defending Freedom people, but I'm not with Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm with American Family Association and OneNewsNow.com.
Got it. All right. Actually, I included that data earlier, but thanks for clarifying that for us.
Sure.
So, Bob, in your capacity with American Family Association and One News Now, you're seeing stuff constantly that's hair-raising, that's shocking, that's disturbing. Was this par for the course, or was this one over the top?
No, it's par for the course, unfortunately.
Wow.
We're seeing more and more of this where Christianity is under attack, basically. And there are a couple of lines of thought on that. A lot of school administrators and school officials do not understand the law. They misapply the law. They think if you even mention the word religion, it's an establishment, it violates the Establishment Clause. And that's certainly not true. As the Supreme Court has ruled, that you don't discard your freedom of religion the minute you enter the schoolhouse gates. You still have rights to express your religion and beliefs. The other line of thought on that, too, is that there is an increasing hostility toward Christianity and toward religion. And many school districts are doing this intentionally, where they're trying to halt, block, and prevent students from sharing just simple things like an invitation to an Easter egg hunt or an invitation to a Christmas party at their church. They're calling that violating the Establishment Clause. But at the same time, other students, secular students with secular messages, are freely allowed to distribute their information.
So, Bob, when you say this is par for the course, we're not imagining it when we feel that there is some type of persecution of religious freedoms in America today, right within the school system. That this is not just something that we're imagining and that we're hypersensitive about this?
No. And this particular case got a lot of attention. The irony was that it was in Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
Prevented from distributing a Christian message. But this is all too common. And Alliance Defending Freedom, for one, works a lot with K-12 students. And this happens all the time. A lot of it, though, goes unreported or maybe just a local story. But it's not getting the national attention that it needs because it's becoming a serious problem.
Can you give me just a couple of other examples of this type of thing happening in our schools with our kids?
Sure. One of the more famous ones was the Candy Cane case. I don't know if you remember that or not. But that was almost 10 years ago. But it was down in Plano, Texas. And a young third grader was trying to hand out, they call it their winter party instead of a Christmas party. Anyway, this student, Jonathan Morgan, was trying to hand out candy cane pins, and he had tied to it a religious message, a Christmas message that he wanted to convey. Schools prevented him from doing that, shut it down, and said he couldn't do that. And, of course, then this erupted this huge lawsuit over this that went on for quite some time and made it to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And eventually the student won. The court ruled that he did have the right to distribute this message, and it was constitutionally protected. And the unfortunate thing is one of the issues, a side issue to all of this, is that school officials are being held unaccountable. They're giving immunity in these situations. The Liberty Institute out of Texas handled that case, and once it was decided that the students' rights, free speech rights, and religious rights were being violated, Liberty wanted to take it a step further and go after the school officials that were held accountable, to hold a couple of them accountable for violating these rights, because they say there needs to be accountability. That just ended 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, April 2nd, the last hope of getting the court, the Fifth Circuit, to take on this case and review their arguments finally ended on the 2nd of April. And so that doesn't seem, at least at this point, that can be pursued. But the establishment of the student rights and to share their faith, at least that was reaffirmed by the Fifth Circuit.
Yeah. And Bob, every week at onenewsnow.com, some of my articles get posted there. And then American Family Association, American Family Radio, which airs the Line of Fire broadcast, we take 2 hours from the week and have the privilege of airing that on Sunday. You and your organizations are constantly working to inform Christians about what's going on. Sometimes, you know, people say, why do you keep bringing this stuff up? Because we need people to know. And the best thing is to be aware of what's happening with your kids in your schools, and then immediately as parents to get involved if there is something that does violate your religious freedoms and rights. That's where it all starts. So, Bob, I appreciate you keeping us updated, and we'll be praying for righteousness, the right thing to triumph, and for America to stay with its godly heritage. I do appreciate you weighing in and joining us on the air. Thanks for all your hard work.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. God bless you, Bob Kellogg. You can follow News for American Family Association at onenewsnow.com. We'll be right back with your calls about Easter. Yes or no? Good to celebrate it as is? Wrong to? Make some tweaks, changes? What do you think?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I grew up in a Jewish home, so this time of the year we would celebrate Passover, sometimes go with other friends and have a larger Passover meal, sometimes just at our home. We were not deeply religious, but, you know, Jewish enough that the major holy days of the year we would celebrate on some level. I have to be honest, it didn't mean much to me growing up. In fact, it was not this positive memory, oh, we get to do this. Well, obviously, I didn't have a connection with God in the midst of it. And if there were beautiful traditions, they went right past me. And again, those traditions did not connect me with God. But certainly, I had no connection to Easter. And if you said to me, what does Easter mean? What is Easter about? As a boy, I don't know that I would have had any answer of any substance for you. The church I was saved in, every day was the same. We didn't have Christmas celebrations or sing Christmas hymns or decorate the church building. And the same with Easter is just another service. I remember a pastor preaching. We used to go to church Monday night prayer meeting, Tuesday night service, Friday night service, Sunday morning Sunday school. Then we added a Wednesday night service. We added a Sunday night service. And I went to all of them, all the time. And I remember the founding pastor of the church, a big Italian brother, is with the Lord now. He spoke for us. He was not only there, but he spoke. And he said, I'm not going to talk about Good Friday because since I've been saved, every day has been good. And you know, he just went on from there. And that's kind of the way I knew it. So it was a while before I was in church services, and there was the Easter egg hunt, you know, that kind of setting or around that. It was very different for me. Then I'd read books or articles, and they would say, well, the whole name Easter, it comes from Ishtar, and others say, no, there's no connection there. It just had to then come in with a certain time of the year, and this was the feast or the festival at this time of the year, and it doesn't, not related to Ishtar. And they said, oh, no, that's where the rabbit and the eggs come from, and fertility goddess and all this, and well, for me, it's really simple in terms of where our focus needs to be. But my Messianic Jewish friends would say, hey, let's just remember this all happens in the Passover season, so this should be celebrating the death and resurrection of the Messiah in the midst of Passover. He dies in conjunction with Passover, rises in conjunction with first fruits. Let's do that. And others say, how can you be so picky and trivial when this is the greatest weekend of the year for Christians around the world, and let's just enjoy the Lord and focus on that and quit being so petty. So what's your take? Should we celebrate Easter as is? Should we celebrate the death and resurrection of the Messiah with different terms and get rid of the trappings? Should we do this all in conjunction with the Passover season? 866-34-TRUTH. Denise from Boston, thanks for holding over from the last hour. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
I'm just going to take it off speaker. I apologize. Yeah. Brian, how are you?
Good.
Excellent. So, all right. I studied the Catholic Church really in great depth, and I learned a lot about it. And one can really not study that and not come to the determination that the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, set in 325 by Rome and Constantine, is in fact the Babylon, the harlot, which was talked about in Revelation. And so as I learned about the Catholic Church, I then started sort of making parallels and looking and saying, okay, wait a minute here. Now, the Catholic Church, you know, they go to church on Sundays and the worship on Sundays, not Saturday. You know, they have Easter, they have Christmas, so on and so forth. And I say, wait a minute here. You know, why is the mainstream Christian churches out there doing the same thing as the Catholic Church when we are clearly told to come out of her, my people? That's exactly what he tells us. So I'm, you know, really been focusing now on learning more about, you know, my Jewish roots being grafted in to the family of Abraham by the blood of Yeshua. In fact, I went to Israel to, you know, even learn more about 6 months ago. And I think one of the scriptures that I'm focused on here is the fact that we are told that we will provoke the Jewish people to jealousy when they see us, you know, keeping the Sabbath and doing the things that we should be doing. And to me, you know, there's a huge gap between, you know, Jewish people and Christians. And mainstream Christian people will say, gee, yes, you know, I bless Israel. And they say that, but, you know, if you go over to Israel and you walk around and say, hey, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and you're wearing a cross, a graven image, and he died for your sins, so on and so forth, he's the Messiah. Well, at the same time, they've been hearing this, you know, from the Catholic people who have executed, killed, murdered, raped, stolen from them for the last 2,000 years. So, you know, I think the more that we come out of the Babylonian church and completely distinguish ourselves as absolutely different and call ourselves Gentile believers following Yeshua the Messiah, that will be the way that we really will, in fact, bless the Israelites and provoke them to jealousy.
All right. Well, I appreciate you laying that out. I would just encourage you, Denise, in the midst of your study, to be careful not to overstate things. For example, the way you describe the Catholic Church and for 2,000 years doing certain things to Jews, you find that to be quite an overstatement. So I would just encourage you, in the midst of your recovering Jewish roots of the faith and wanting to be valid in your witness to the Jewish people, that if you can do it in a way that doesn't overstate the case, it would be much, much better in terms of an accurate witness. But hey, Denise, thank you for weighing in. I'm sure you've got folks listening that are fuming and others that are cheering. But I'm just hosting a discussion right now. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, Jan in Baltimore, you are next, but I just want to wait a moment so I don't have to cut you off with our break at the end of this segment. So friends, here's what's interesting. I asked for calls starting last hour, and we've gotten a bunch, but there's not a single person. No one has called yet. Zero. As in none. N-O-N-E. No one has called yet saying, hey, the Easter eggs are fine, and it's all part of a neat tradition, and we use it for outreach, and don't get so uptight and negative. Nobody. Nobody. So pastor, if you're doing that in your church, call and tell us why. Sunday school teachers, if you're doing that in your Sunday school, call and tell us why. Believers, if you're participating in that, think it's great, call and tell us why. I'm trying to give both sides a chance, but I'm only hearing from one. 866-34-TRUTH. Talking about Jewish roots, I don't think you'll find a better book that'll help you discover the Jewish roots of our faith, the Jewishness of Jesus. He was a rabbi, not a reverend, and yet uncovering the spiritual riches of who he is in a way that's an eye-opener for Jew and Christian alike. My book, The Real Kosher Jesus. I was blessed by the way the Lord enabled me to write it, and the responses have been terrific to the book. You can get this packaged together with a two DVD set, Sid Roth moderating a debate on the real kosher Jesus between Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, my dear friend, and yours truly. You'll save $15 when you order today. The book and the DVDs together, just $25, postage paid. Call us, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that is 1-800-278-9978. We'll be back with your calls. I think it's going to get even more lively.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. This weekend, Christians from around the world will be celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus. Some debate, was he crucified on a Wednesday or a Thursday rather than a Friday? Some debate whether we should have a separate holiday called Easter rather than in the midst of the Passover season, celebrate the death of Jesus and his resurrection, which corresponds with Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Some say, hey, it's a great way to reach out. It's a traditional time when people will show up in church. They're one time a year. So let's lean into that however we need to. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to your calls in one moment. Looking at an article by Dr. David Curry, who's the president and CEO for Open Doors USA. He says this: for most Christians, Easter is much more than the Easter egg hunts and new Sunday clothing to wear to church. Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. For the most part, Christians in the West flock to churches in safety, but for Christians living in countries like Iraq, Nigeria, and Algeria, Easter takes on additional implications. It remains a precious and holy day, but one that also carries extra risk and danger. He points out, tragically, last year, 80 Christians living in Nigeria were killed, and many were injured in a series of attacks on predominantly Christian villages in Plateau and Kaduna states, obviously by Muslim terrorists. The attackers were heavily armed. Most of their victims were children, women, and elderly people. Many villagers fled to the nearby hills, and some who returned later were murdered. Christian leaders reported the destruction of 234 homes, the burning of 8 church buildings, and the displacement of as many as 4,500 Christians. That's something we also need to remember at this time of the year, the suffering of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. I said that twice. All right. To the phones, Jan in Baltimore, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the line of fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. God bless your ministry.
Thank you.
My point, I think, is that we really need to make sure that we are worshiping the correct Jesus. Are we talking about a Jesus who nailed the law to the cross and done away with the law? Are we talking about a Jesus who upholds the law? And that, you know, if we're going to worship in spirit and in truth, I think we need to identify that each one of us for ourselves individually and proceed accordingly.
All right. So what would you say is a problem with the way we do things now in many of our churches on what's commonly called Easter Sunday?
Well, I would say that a Jesus who has done away with the law, and when we do away with the law, it opens the door to the death of discernment. It's very difficult now to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is appropriate and not appropriate, because the standard against which we measure things has now been done away with. And so it opens the door to all kinds of things. And when I began to study the whole Word of God, I realized that the law, the Torah, teaches you don't mingle. You know, you don't mingle the clean with the unclean. You don't mingle two kinds of seeds in the same field. You don't mingle, you know, like wool with linen. You don't mingle. So, in other words,
and I'm just jumping in because we got a break, that there are principles that we learn then, not that we're to be saying there are two different types of fabric in our garment that we're wearing, but the principles of not mingling with the world, the principles of separation, that you learn those through studying the Torah, which is a major reason God gave Israel dietary laws. Hey, Jan, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate your passion on the subject. 866-34-TRUTH. Right back with your calls. Does anybody think Easter eggs is a good thing? Just wondering.
Send it, Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I am hosting a debate about Easter, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, Passover, First Fruits, pagan tradition, church tradition, what's good, what's bad. And we're going to go right back to the phones. Let's go to Salt Lake City, Utah. Sid, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I sure do appreciate your ministry on the radio. I enjoy listening to it every day. Thank you for what God's doing through you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. My joy.
Dr. Brown, I was saved at the early age of 9 years old. My mother and father were devout, born-again believers who loved the Lord Jesus. They were active in church, but more than anything, they were active in the lives of their children, showing us the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. And we celebrated Easter and Christmas, and we celebrated the secular aspect of it, the joy that it brought to us young children. As young believers, we got to hear pitter-patter of little hooves on the rooftop, and we dreamed about it, and we were excited. But we knew the difference between the Lord Jesus and his love for us and Santa Claus. And we knew the difference between the Easter Bunny and the joy of getting a basket filled with trinkets that exhibited the love of a wonderful mother and father that knew Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so we had the best of both worlds. We had the joy of being little children who enjoyed the secular aspect and the joy that it brought a child to receive a chocolate Easter Bunny in a basket and eggs that were decorated. And it gave us the opportunity through the years, when asked later as we grew older and knew how to talk about it, it gave us the opportunity to witness the difference to those that are lost, that knew nothing but the secular pagan aspect of Christmas and Easter. And so we were able to tie in the love of the Lord Jesus and the new life that he brings to us through Jesus, we could tie that back to these secular things. But the neat thing about it, Dr. Brown, is we had the wonderful love of Jesus Christ, but parents who helped us understand the difference, and we had the joy of children growing up with wonderful visions of sugar plums dancing through our heads, and it did not confuse us. And we knew the difference, and I praise God for parents that helped us sort out the difference. So I feel sad for those that just deny young children of all the joys and fantasies of life. I mean, we're creatures of joy and fantasy and peace, but we know the difference if we've been taught well. So that's my
got
feelings
it.
On it, Dr. Brown.
All right, Sid, you have spoken eloquently, and you've spoken for many others in saying that. So I'm adding no comment. We'll be going back and forth. But thank you for being the first to weigh in with that point of view today. I do appreciate it. Again, thanks for the kind words. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Linda in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, great. Thank you for taking my call. Basically, we gave up celebrating Easter and Christmas about 2 years ago. I have four sons, 17, 16, and 13. And I gave it up because my search for how do I love God? I was searching how do I fall in love with God? Well, when I was at church, going to a Christian church, I was taking a class on the Holy Spirit. And it was about the Passover time, and I was really reading up on Passover, and I asked the pastor and the group, I said, oh, and I brought up Passover, and his answer to me when I brought it up, because I said, it's just beautiful, just when I read about it, and his answer to me in the group was, yeah, I kept that once, it didn't do anything for me. And at that point, I left that Christian church, and I started finding out more about Christmas and Easter. And when I found out the roots of that, I knew that the God that I know, you know, when he asked us to stay away from that stuff from the beginning, the Molech and all that, that he would not appreciate the Easter and Christmas that we kept for many years. I mean, I'm 48 years old, right?
And what happened? Really, you didn't have little kids in the midst of it. You had older kids, which makes the transition a little easier. But what was their response to your transition?
Well, let me tell you, this past Monday, we went to the last 2 years we've had, you know, kept most of the Passover. And I asked the boys on my way home, I said, we're now keeping Sabbath, so we'll go to a synagogue. So I said, how are you guys, you know, I always check in with my boys, obviously. And he said, you know, both of them, the 16 and the 18-year-old said, Mom, we don't miss it at all. We really enjoy going to the synagogue on Saturday and keeping these holidays. So that was my biggest concern, because I didn't want to force anything on them, but I wanted to tell them, this is the truth that I know now. This is
and,
the love.
Yeah, last question for you. Many people can recover Jewish roots, and as a Jewish believer, I'm all for that. I've written about it, taught about it. What I frequently see is an obsession with Jewish roots or Jewishness, and before you know it, Jesus is no longer central. So here's my $64,000 question for you. For you and your family, is the death and resurrection of Jesus more central and important to you now than a few years ago?
Absolutely. And that's what I keep at the forefront.
Got it.
We don't have to do anything. We want to do. I don't have to do anything. And it's not, and the thing that I learned about this, you know, researching, and as we are, we're doing this journey, right, this life called this journey. The thing I learned, it's not about me, it's about him. And that's what I'm teaching my boys. If I can teach my boys the truth, and it's not about me, and it's not about them, that's keeping Yeshua in front of them every day, then I've done my job as a mother.
Got it. Hey, Linda, thank you for weighing in. Also, articulately and clearly, much appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll stay in Texas and go over to Fort Worth. Andy, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, hello there, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Well, my comment on this situation is that the Bible is clear that when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're given freedom and we're given liberty. We have the choice to do many things as long as we're not doing something that is strictly against his, not his law, because we're above the law. We're held to a higher standard. We're held to love him and keep his commandments. And we also have the liberty and freedom to do things like hunt Easter eggs or other things along that line, celebrate Christmas, as long as our hearts are right. It's what's coming from our hearts that's important mm-hmm. to him. It's not what we're doing as long as we're not committing some kind of sinful crime or something like that, or any kind of sin.
So just to ask you a clarifying question, sir.
Okay.
Obviously, I understand where you're coming from and appreciate it. Would you say that there are certain things that are more helpful and certain things that are more harmful, and that while we might have freedom, we can judge based on that as well?
Exactly. And that's what was my second point. Paul brings it up. We're free to do a lot of things, but we have to be careful if the things that we do are not going to influence our fellow Christians, our Christians that are still babies, that do not completely understand the things the way they should. So even though we do have this freedom and liberty, which I started out with, we do have the responsibility to make sure that we don't influence someone in the wrong way.
Got it. All clear, and I appreciate you weighing in. That's why our phone lines have been open. Thanks so much for the call. 866-348-7884. Let's see. Okay, Todd in Seagrove, North Carolina. We're a little short on time, so dive right in.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You know, the Apostle Paul wrote about that, you know, what happened to Israel is an example to us upon whom the ends of the age have come. And you see what happened to Israel when they fell into the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth. I mean, because Ashtaroth goes under many different names through the different civilizations. And, of course, Easter is the, you know, the latest incarnation of that type of worship. And, you know, I think so much about what something that Richard Reeves said in his book, Too Long in the Sun. He was bringing out that what the Lord said about, thou shalt have no other gods before me, that means that it's in his face. And doing this stuff, it's just rubbing that stuff all in his face. Like, oh, it's fine for us to do this, you know, because, I mean, can I hold it?
All right, I appreciate you weighing in, sir. Sorry time was short, but thanks for making your point. 866-34-TRUTH. Going to take a few more calls as soon as we come back. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we've been discussing, among other things, today, celebration of Easter, Resurrection Sunday, Easter egg hunts, what's good, what's bad, what should be tied in with Passover, first fruits, etc. And last hour, every caller was negative on our current celebration and first number we had this hour, and then suddenly we are flooded with callers who have a different attitude, a more positive assessment. So I want to get to a few more calls. Let's start in Sarasota, Florida with T. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Boy, you are one of my heroes, and I miss you on WTBN. And I called them and gave them a little piece of my mind. I said they should be paying you instead of you paying them to be on the air. So I hope you get back on real soon, because we need people like you on the air desperately, especially in these times. Okay, when I was a kid, we would on Easter Sunday, also on Good Friday, we'd go to church, and it would be very solemn. And then on Easter Sunday, we'd go to church, there'd be a sermon, it would be very joyous, and, you know, my mom and dad would take us home, and sure, we'd have an Easter egg hunt, and, you know, chocolate Easter bunnies, and we'd have a wonderful dinner, and it was centered around Christ, and it was centered around God, and it made my faith stronger, and it also made Easter a joyous event for children. And what really amazes me, Doctor, and I really have to put, like, one of my hands to my head, is that the same people that are saying, oh, you shouldn't have Easter eggs and you shouldn't have the Easter bunny, are the same people that say, oh, well, once you're saved, you can go out and you can murder 15 people, or you can go out and you can be an abortion doctor, and you're still saved. That can never be taken away from you. And it's like, I'm overwhelmed with the complete loss of logic that these people, who seem to be more sanctimonious than some of the politicians that we have to deal with in America today, how they can actually get away with their, in my opinion, warped teaching and thinking. I mean,
I appreciate first the kind words about being on TBN, and hey, these stations have a ton of expenses, and we're all in it together, and we do hope to get back on as soon as possible. We had to jump back from a bunch of stations, which was painful to do, but we had to do that. But I'll just say this: here's what's interesting, and I want to encourage you with this. Mm-hmm. A lot of the folks who say that we should celebrate the death and resurrection of the Messiah in the context of Passover first fruits instead of this Easter holiday, a lot of them hold to a Messianic Jewish reading of Scripture, which means they don't agree with once saved, always saved, whereas many of the folks who do agree with just, hey, the Easter egg and the whole bit, they do hold to it. So it's actually a bit of a mix, but I think you'll find a whole bunch, sir, that are very sensitive to the issues that you just raised. This bizarre idea that no matter how you live, no matter what you do, you might be a mass serial killer and deny Jesus, and you're still one of his people, that you'll find a lot who absolutely agree with you that would identify as Messianic Jews and who celebrate death and resurrection of Jesus in the midst of Passover season. But hey, thank you for the call, and thank you for the kind words. Look forward to being back on WTBN in your part of Florida in the coming days. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Osborne in Petersburg, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, are you there? Well, all right, let's try this again. Osborne in Petersburg. All right, hang on, Johnny. Can you put Osborne on for us? I have just had a problem on my system here. Or have we lost our callers? Well, I am going to talk. I'm so sorry there. I was trying to get to a few more calls. It looks like we just had a problem with our system, so my profound apologies to those who are waiting to get on. Let me give a few reflections, all right? Number one, I'm not convinced that Easter is connected with Ishtar in any direct way in terms of a name.